Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can gather together here, listening and reading your word. And now help us to understand as we consider what is said to us. Amen. Okay. So, the writer or writers of Luke's Gospel take over an account which is also found in Matthew and in Mark, but they have considerably condensed it. There is no direct reference to the location at that time. It's likely that the lake referred to is Lake Galilee, and it could have been taking place at lunchtime or in the early evening, both of these accounting for the fact that Jesus had gone to sleep to get some rest. If we look at the next slide, we can see Lake Galilee presenting a very tranquil, very idyllic picture. It looks all very serene and pleasant. And then on the following slide, yes, we have one of the fishing boats, yeah, that are traditionally used or were used on the lake. They're not enormous boats, yeah, more like a rowing boat with a sail, and be fine as long as it was all peaceful. But it's well documented that storms can quite suddenly occur over the lake, the weather changing really quickly from calm to extremely windy, and they can bring then a boat and its passengers into real danger. Yeah, extreme weather, even in our time, shows how fragile human life is. And it's therefore no surprise that the disciples are gripped with fear, even though some of them were experienced fishermen. "Master, Master, we are going to drown," is not an exaggeration, but it's a clear expression of their fear and a reflection of the seriousness of the situation. Jesus gets up and calmly rebukes the wind and the raging waters. The waters of lakes and the sea were always seen as threats in the Bible, perhaps because the Israelites were not a seafaring nation as such, but were rather land-based. Authority over the forces of nature is one of the attributes of God. In Genesis chapter 1, which we heard earlier, God calms the waters and he gathers them into the seas, bringing order to the newly created world. Jesus, by calming the storm, shows that he has divine authority over nature. It is now clear that he is indeed God. At Jesus' baptism, there was a voice from heaven which declared, "You are my Son whom I love, with you I am well pleased." This sonship had been demonstrated in great, inspired teaching, in healing and in the forgiving of sins. Jesus made clear what authority he has: divine, godly authority. And the people he encountered had to respond to this. Gradually, it became clear who Jesus is, more than any preacher who had come before. But it would take time for the disciples to fully grasp the full extent of Jesus' divinity, to grasp that he really is the Son of God. Human understanding and recognition take a while to keep up with the facts created by God. And in that way, it's not surprising that the passage ends with the question, "Who is this?" He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him. The passage ends with a question which the disciples ask themselves in their process of recognition. They're not quite there yet. They're not rejoicing and praising Jesus as God, but they're very nearly there. It's almost a rhetorical question. And it is quite right that this section of the narrative ends in that way. The reader or listener of the gospel is to ask themselves, who is Jesus? And hopefully they will arrive at the same answer, at the answer that Jesus is Lord and God. The whole of Luke's gospel is an invitation into discipleship and following of Jesus. It's made clear that all can join in and acknowledge Jesus. Nobody is excluded. Nobody is shut out. Everyone can travel on the way. There is no toll for that road of following Jesus. And I think eventually, and maybe that's also what Luke implies, eventually everyone will come to understand that Jesus is Lord and join in. But I think the passage, the calming of the storm, can also be applied to our lives in a more metaphorical way. The small boat on the lake is a good symbol for our lives. And we are not invincible. And whilst we may float happily along in our day-to-day lives, things can change rather quickly. Seemingly without warnings, storms can occur. Life is unpredictable for all, followers of Jesus included. And my mother said after her heart attack and the first emergency surgery, well, I was happily making preparations for Christmas lunch when suddenly I felt ill, let myself down on the floor, and then for a while could not get up. For her, life changed quite drastically, and she still requires a lot of help with even simple day-to-day tasks. How do we react when the unexpected strikes? When our boat is rocked by severe storms and everything is in danger? Do we panic and despair, a bit like the disciples in the story? It's quite natural to cry out with fear. The disciples did so. However, it's important to note who they cry out to. They do not just call into the wind. There is no undirected shouting of help, help. They address Jesus. Even in the deepest moment of terror, they turn to him. And perhaps you might detect a bit of an accusation in their call. We are going to drown. Perhaps in their minds they thought, well, what are you going to do about it? When we are in times of turmoil, when we feel suddenly lost and worried, then we do right to remember God, to turn to him. It doesn't matter then how we express this. Yeah, the thought, the prayer of the heart is enough. And if we can't pray ourselves, then we can ask others to intercede for us. When I arrived in Germany on Christmas Eve and had found out that my mother had been taken to hospital, I got worried. And this worry increased after my telephone call to the hospital when I was told that mother was in the emergency unit following a heart attack and that she would require further immediate treatment at a specialist centre and that she was prepared for the journey there. It was not a given that things would turn out well, and whilst waiting I felt suddenly really lonely. It was then that I prayed and also sent a text message to Jonathan asking him to include my mother in the prayers of intercession in church. Jonathan quickly replied and suggested putting her on the prayer list too. It was not only a great comfort to know that others are interceding for her, but over the coming weeks, I can only marvel at God's guidance and his care and providence, Because at times I could almost physically feel how prayer enfolded my mother and myself. And if you move on to the next slide, there should be one more slide there, please. Sorry? It's finished? Oh, right, okay, so the Harwell version has a picture missing or two. Oh, right, okay. Because what I had was, there was a picture of my mother. There it is. Yes, it's not the best photo. Mother on the left, and then my sister-in-law and my niece, yeah, playing together. That was Christmas 2017. Yes, so I'm just looking back over the last sort of 2 months, in January and February, to where we are now. I can only marvel and be just grateful and thankful for God's guidance, for God's care. That everything has turned out just falling into place. Became clear sort of at the end of December, my mother said it and acknowledged straight away that she would not be able to cope without considerable support, and that she was reluctant and couldn't really envisage herself moving back or going back to live in her house and carry on as she had done before. So there was a point of, you know, finding a suitable residential setting for her. And whilst I was happy and pleased that my mother had made the decision for herself that she didn't want to continue living on her own at home, it's quite a different thing to actually then find a suitable home. And it all just worked out again. I was just so amazed. I sent emails to 5 places that I thought might be suitable, and within 12 hours, one of those 5 replied. They had a vacancy which became available just the day before Mother was due to be discharged from hospital. And that particular centre, it calls itself Residential Centre for Senior Citizens and has the lovely name, the Blue House, yeah, making it sound very friendly. Yeah, the colour blue has that sort of more friendly association, and if you call it the Blue House, yeah, it's not like in English, the colour blue sometimes being associated with sadness or the other association. My mother had really took to it from the moment she moved in. It's really lovely. The meals are good, which is important to her because she used to be a home economics teacher, and cookery is one of her passions, so she also appreciates being provided with good cooking, not just doing it herself. There are lovely facilities, and it's all just great. And I want to say thank you to all of you who prayed for my mother and her situation, and we can all rejoice in a fantastic, good answer to prayer. Yes, life storms, yeah, can hit us, and our boat can be rocked severely, and things can change at very short notice. I mean, obviously not every story ends like this. I mean, the disciples, the storm was calm. They were out of the danger of that situation. Doesn't mean that from then on they had an easy time. Far from it. We all know from the Gospels, yeah, that the disciples faced further trials, that they, yeah, first faced the persecution after Easter, yeah, and as the early Christian church developed. And it's the same for us. We may see one answer to prayer in one way, but it doesn't mean that we will never have any problems in the future. Yeah, the weather can change from good to bad, from bad to good, and can changed so drastically. But when we are remembering that we are with Jesus, that we can call on him in the storms of life, he will provide an answer in some shape or form. It will always be a different answer for each of us. But we can be confident. Jesus is Lord. He is the Master. He is in control. He is in control of nature. He is in control of everything. And I want to finish with words from Romans chapter 8. If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, or hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.